welcome to For the Fans, where tonight Sheldon and I are so excited to talk about the premiere episode of Survivor 46. I think it was a really fun episode, some really interesting things to talk about, but like these people came to play.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, like I think so much of like what made it a pretty dynamic premiere episode is the fact that we get 2 hours with these people. So like, I feel like I know everybody.
Well, everybody got at least two confessionals. I was looking at the confessional accounts, which, you know, like it's not Erica with probably one or even a quarter in her first, right? Yeah, you're right. I feel like I know everybody. I feel like I know one person way too much and he's gone. So
yeah, there's definitely some people we know more than others, but I'm like, I've got a general impression of everybody. So,
and the general impression of a pretty freaking good cast.
Yeah, I'm excited. Like, I think we got some good things ahead. So the way we are going to do this tonight is we are going to talk about the four biggest things that, you know, made an impression on us from the premiere episode. So we're going to go through that. This first one is going to be kind of a catch-all because, of course, we have to talk about cast impressions. There's so many fun, interesting people to talk about. So we're going to go through kind of alphabetically, hit on each person, and then we'll talk more specifics as we get into our other four biggest takeaways. All right.
So, well, other three, if we do the math.
Other three.
You used to teach science. You should know a little bit of math.
Yeah, no, we don't do math. I don't know her.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So, Banu.
Banu?
What are your thoughts on Banu?
So, verging on annoying, verging, but also really cute and fun, and even just when he pat his head, I don't. He's a lot of fun. He had the most confessionals last night. He said hello hilariously. He was angry. He was sad. He was crying. He is Carolyn.
It was a full array of emotions. Question: do you want Banu to hand feed you rice?
Absolutely.
Or coconut. I guess they didn't even have rice. So like,
I don't want anybody to hand feed me anything. I if you look at my belly, I've fed myself enough. Absolutely not. But I don't know. Like, I really like this guy. The thing about him is he's actually genuine. Like, this isn't a show. He's a good human.
Yeah, I think he can probably hide nothing, as we see, you know, coming up in episode 2, where, you know, he is literally screaming at Jess in the immunity challenge. I think that Banu, like, I don't think my impression of him has changed a whole lot. I worry about him for the long term because.
But also, isn't he somebody that you keep around for a very long time? Because if he's loyal to you, he's loyal to you.
I mean, I think he's going to be pretty loyal to who he's loyal to. But then also, do you think Banu can keep a secret?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think he's someone you can't trust long term. Like, just accidentally, he, you know, or his face says it if mouth doesn't.
I don't think mouth. I think it's physical, like completely facial, physical body.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a character. He was really fun to watch. I'm glad he's on this season. However long we have him, I'm here for it.
Can we talk about Ben Katzman? Because I shouldn't do the magic we. I thought it would be horrible. He was not horrible. He was fun. Everybody liked him. He wasn't annoying. I didn't think he would hurt people. Like, he was great. He was great.
So I will say that he was better than I thought, but he still, I think, would annoy me. Like the whole, you know, rock and roll and that whole vibe, that, and talking about the vibes, that would not, it wouldn't be for me. It wouldn't be for me.
You see, like, he obviously said it, but I don't think he was walking around saying rock and roll all day. I think Survivor edited it so that every single
time. Says it a lot.
I don't think so. I think
he says it a lot.
That's not normal, Kylie.
And I think he talks about his music a lot, but that's okay. I mean, he was fine. He wasn't the best. He wasn't the worst. Agreed.
Yep.
Do you have any other thoughts about him?
No.
So
The other one for me, Kylie, that really stood out in this cast in a not a positive way, good old Liz Wilcox, who speaks in third person and talks about her businesses that she has and the businesses that she sold. Bad news bears. Bad.
Yeah. So for my fantasy draft that we do, I had Liz on my team initially. Oh. And literally 15 minutes before it closed, I was like, I think I need to switch it. And so I switched from Liz to Jim. And I'm feeling really, really good about that decision because, you know, whenever we talked about this cast initially, we knew that there was going to be this connection between Soda and Tevin. Yep. And we thought that Liz might could kind of be like the third there. But we also thought that Hunter, you know, would do pretty well with this group just because of all of the great strengths he brings to the tribe. And so, you know, with Liz immediately talking about her money, and I do, Kevin is not here tonight. I would like to put it on record that Hunter talked zero about grades in school, but Liz did talk about money. And ding, I call that one. Okay. So.
I also, like, it just, I don't know.
What a weird flex.
But it's not even the flex because it's, she might have four businesses, but they might be all losing money. She might have sold two businesses, but they might have been sold for $2. So, like, I don't know what she was trying to do other than cover up her own insecurities with herself, of herself, by trying to say, I'm better than you, I feel I am, right? And it was sort of sad.
I think it was a flex. Like, I think she was trying to be like, look at me. And she even says, I'm pretty awesome. And so.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. People that are awesome don't say they're pretty. They're awesome. Right. Like, people that are sexy don't tell other people, yeah, I'm pretty sexy.
Exactly. But, you know, I think that, in, you know, my sense of humor, I'm sarcastic. So yeah. I would be like, I'm pretty awesome, you know, but that doesn't translate well on a first impression either. You know, people have to know you before they realize, oh, okay, she's being sarcastic. And so, you know, was Liz just, I don't know what happened here.
Kylie, it was complete discomfort. Like, she was probably bullied in school. It was discomfort. But can we talk about the person that really surprised me? My new best friend, Tevin. Because talk about who... Somebody that could have been the stereotypical flamboyant gay man basically is the narrator of the show, talking in severe depth about how difficult Survivor is, goes out there and also with Hunter builds a shelter, and is also making strong connections, being completely himself, and probably setting himself up to really do well in this game.
Oh, Tevin, yeah.
Tevin is something.
Like, I told y'all he was going to be amazing. You know, the first interview that I heard with him, I was like, okay, he has what it takes. There's just something about him that is just, you're just immediately drawn to him. And it popped on the screen. I think it pops in his tribe. We yeah. see him have the immediate connection with Soda.
Singing with Soda.
Do what?
Singing with Soda.
Yeah, singing with Soda. And then he has this, you know, connection with Hunter that we don't necessarily see coming over Andy Griffith. Like, this typical beefy Southern white man and this a little bit flamboyant gay black man are bonding over, you know, a 1950s TV show.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I'm really looking forward to continue watching him play because I think my sense is we're going to see a lot of special moves this season, and I hope they come from Tevin.
Yeah, I think Tevin is really, really great. You know, we do get to see him have a couple of shiny moments that we're going to get into specifically later, but yeah, all the Tevin, all the time. I really like it. Let's also talk about, before we move on to anybody else, Soda, because I feel like, you know, what's Tevin without a side of Soda? Okay. Soda is, I think she's also set up well for a while.
Yeah.
She's kind of like an enigma to me because you have this over the top personality. I mean, she literally squeals as soon as Jeff starts talking. He's like, this is survive. She's like, you know, and she makes all of these funny noises. She has these funny comments. And, you know, she's being the big personality in camp. But then we see her, you know, in confessionals being very calm, very real. And so, like, I halfway get Marianne vibes from her where I'm like, okay, I couldn't handle her. But then she pulls it back. So I think she's a better version of Marianne.
I didn't. So it's so funny because I didn't get that from her in the sense that I didn't. I found her a bit unremarkable. I think she's going to be a competent player. I also think she's quite bright, but I didn't get as much of a sense of somebody that's over dramatic and loud as you did. She's not Carolyn. Like, that's not what she is. And I think the fact that Tevin is there might in fact bring her down if there's a fear of that. Okay, well, there is somebody else here that's on this ride that's loud and funny and all these things. I don't need to be. And like, I really like Soda. She was a lot of fun. I am honestly a little concerned in terms of them losing and having women have to leave first. But it will probably be Venus and not Soda. So,
yeah. All right. So let's hit on Venus since you brought her up.
Yeah.
What do you think about Venus?
Next. Yeah. It seems like a lot of talk with not a lot of meat. Like,
literally.
Yes. Like, I don't know. Like, she's walking around looking for things, good for her, but she didn't find anything.
I like it. Like, I feel like this is not a typical archetype you get from a woman of being, hey, I'm out here, I'm looking for idols, and like, I know that I'm a threat. How dare you call me out on it?
Yeah. Correctly.
You know, I want her to back it up, but I am here for, okay, this isn't all kumbaya, like.
But it's partially because she can't make social connections, or I don't think she's able to make the same types of social connections. So she almost doesn't necessarily have a choice, right?
Well, she says she is going to have a hard time making connections initially. And she said that she has like the Regina George Mean Girls thing going on. I mean, I think she is very self-aware. It is just a matter of if she can overcome it.
Yeah, but the way she's overcoming it is going to look for idols and being caught, right? Do the opposite.
But she's done something because when Tim, you know, kind of catches her in the act and then he turns and tells Soda is immediately like, yeah, no, we're not doing that, and lets Venus in on it. And so she's made enough of a connection somewhere with Soda that she's got Soda being like, hey, watch out.
Or Tim has made worse of an impression than Venus.
Not Tim. Sorry, and it's not even Tim. It's Randon.
Yeah, but Randon made worse of an impression.
Guess what? Two peas in a pod.
Yes.
Randon over to Tim. What do you think about Tim basically being to saying to Charlie, you know, these women on Survivor, they're always voting out the men.
Well, factually incorrect, but also, what else is he going to say to a kid? I think that's his way of trying to form a relationship with Charlie in the game of saying, oh God, hey, you know what? We should make a really good connection and work together. Why? Because it's us versus them. So his attempt is to actually create fear in Charlie's mind, when the truth is Charlie doesn't need fear. He needs to create relationships. And I don't think that's what Tim understands.
Yeah, Tim didn't, he didn't do it for me last night. I'm worried for him.
It's okay. The game is over. You don't have to be worried.
Worried for him long term.
Yeah, you don't have to worry. We know he ain't winning. Okay, like it's not happening, right?
Yeah.
I just don't think he has the full package, sadly, to win a game.
Yeah.
I didn't want to bring up one more person that we didn't talk about yet before we probably should go on to our next topic. And that was how we completely and totally underestimated Tiffany. I thought Tiffany would come out, be afraid of her own shadow, be scared of the elements, be not able to do challenge. Wrong. So wrong. So wrong. She is here for the long run. She's here to play this game, and she's going to do really well at it.
Yeah, Tiffany was definitely a bright spot. She masterfully finds this clue, or, you know, beware advantage. Yeah. And then while they, you know, she has temporarily lost her vote, they end up going, they're going to be the ones to go to tribal council. And she comes back while they're strategizing on who they are going to vote out. She is also deciphering a clue, running to another island, finding a key, bringing it back, finding an idol. Like, the girl had an episode.
Well, yeah, no, and she was fantastic. But what was the most impressive about all of that for me is I don't actually think she deciphered the clue. I think she guessed the clue based on the number of spaces. I don't think there was any deciphering. That's how freaking smart and ingenious she is. She just saw, oh, five letters, beach. Like, yeah. Like, that's what she did. There was no legend that she was able to figure out. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was great. They should have put her on the old sweat versus savvy task. All right. So, speaking of which, let's talk about.
I did want to talk one more person, just because she does have to do with Tiffany, and that's Kenzie. I'm very high on Kenzie, as you know, Kylie, and as I talked about last week. I think she brought everything. And while we saw Tiffany having an episode, we also saw Kenzie being a witness to absolutely all of it and being fully trusted and having significant trust with everybody else on the tribe too.
So still hitting on Tiffany a little bit, one thing that I forgot was in her little preseason interview, she said, "Why can't people shut the fuck up?" And that is the only thing I don't like. Our girl literally finds the beware advantage and is immediately like, oh, look what I found. Look what I found. I was like, no, we want
okay, but that is a testament to Kenzie, right? Like, that is a testament to how quick they got close together and Kenzie was able to bring her in and Tiffany trusted her. And, you know, it's still early on. We don't, it's too far to say that's a testament to Kenzie, yeah. But they obviously created a strong enough bond between the two of them that Tiffany needed to go to Kenzie and say, you need to help me. We need to do this together. You need to have my back and I'm going to entrust this information for you. So obviously some relationship was made.
But I don't even think that she thought about it. I mean, it was a instinct. She found the paper and instead of, you know, trying to hide it or something else, she was immediately like, I got it. And, you know,
but the instinct wasn't not to tell or not to tell. I think the instinct was, I have to tell somebody, and the person I am going to tell is this beautiful redhead.
Yeah, no, she's gorgeous. I don't know. I kind of get like some conceited vibes from her, and no. I don't completely gel with her personality.
You don't have to be friends with her. Just watch her on TV.
Yeah, I'm saying I don't think I gel with it.
Love her.
I know you're high on
that hair. Oh, I want hair like that. My hair is a mess.
All right, but we've talked about it several times. This seems to be a bit of a new dawn for the women, a new era for the women. In the previous seasons that they've been seen of the new era, we have seen, and we have talked about it quite a bit on this podcast.
Yep. As the feminist you are, you keep on bringing it up.
I've like got a notebook. I'm checking it off. I'm seeing how they keep voting off all these women pre-merge. And so it's very strange when we do have Tim say, you know, these women, they're always voting off the men. But we see several instances last night of women coming together. So let's talk about these three SIGA women in Maria, Jim, and Mariah. I thought all three of them had good first episodes. And it seems like immediately Jim and Mariah, they are just naturally drawn to each other. What do you think about this little duo and then adding in badass Mama Maria?
And then add in a Charlie. as the fourth girl, I guess, or a number, I should say. Yeah. Look, first of all, I was so impressed by Maria last night. She put that puzzle piece on her back. You know, I again, do not judge a book by its cover. I judged Jelinski by his cover and thought he'd be there for a long while. And I thought Maria wouldn't be there that long because she's an older woman. Mm-hmm. On the outset, she doesn't look super fit. Holy crap, this is a mother who could do anything. It's a person that could do anything. And not only was she physically wonderful, she was great strategically. She was there to play. Like, there's no hiding it. In terms of the three of them, I really like it. And I actually think they're going to be loyal to one another as well. You know, I think they've been able to create a real strong bond of respect and love for each other. But also, it's based on the fact that I think they all really think each other is smart, thoughtful, and wants to play the game. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have a person that is just as smart as you and just as sneaky as you and just as strategic as you, I don't know. That's why I'm your friend, Kylie, because I want to learn from you and it makes me better. Right. So I don't, I love these three, and so smart to bring in Charlie. Of the others, I think that he's closer. He's not as old as the other guys. I think having a woman come in and sort of bring him into the family and nurture him a bit. I think hands down, great night for the three of them, even though they didn't go to tribe.
Yeah, but I mean, I think this is set up, you know, whenever we do see Siga go to tribal, I'm, you know, Tim.
Yeah.
It may not be great for you because those three women are going to stick together, at least for the first vote. I think that we see them sticking together. But hopefully that, you know, this narrative, and not only have there been a lot of women voted off, you know, early pre-merge in the new era, the last season that they see is 44. And you have, now I've blanked on all their names, of course, Claire, Maddie, Helen. You know, you have like three young girls voted off immediately. Yeah. And it's like, hey, let's change this.
I will say that, you know, I think the difficulty here is it seems to be a guys versus girl thing. Mm-hmm. If I was Charlie, I would prefer to be with the girls here.
Yeah.
And the reason is because knowing Charlie's personality, as I saw him, I think he's a little bit, people will think of him as being immature, young, and forgettable. And so I believe if even it's the four of them are somehow thought of as this big alliance, I don't think anyone's going for Charlie. I think they're going for the rest of the women. Right.
Right. So
I think it's strategically, and he's placing himself in such a good place for long term.
I mean, the stranglehold that the Black Widow Brigade still has on people, literally 30 seasons later. The Black Widow Brigade was on 16. This is Survivor 46. 30 seasons later, we have a Parvati reference. And yeah. So, you know, anytime that you see a group of women come together in an alliance, it is immediately just like red alarm. We have to break them up. And so I agree with you. Like, I think that Charlie being with this group, but not actually being the female, is great for him.
Yeah. Love it.
Love it.
What other women stuff do we see?
So we also see this really great close relationship, like you said, with Kinsey and Tiffany, where they had formed a four with Q and Jelinski, but immediately you're like, okay, well, those two are close together. So even if there are four, it's those two as a part of the four. I mean, as we're going to see and as we're going to talk about, you know, it's not a four, it's a three. And so now they're a two in a group of three. And that's powerful.
Well, I thought this four was weird in general because we sort of saw Q say, this is our four, when a few minutes later, and we're going to talk about the Sweat versus Savvy in just a few minutes, when you sort of saw him question Jelinski. So I didn't really understand how he could form any alliance with Jelinski if he just fundamentally, well, let's face it, he didn't respect him. So I never understood the strength of that four. Outside of when in Survivor, there's four people around, you make an alliance on the first few days and, you know, you use it or you don't, you know, just say this is a four.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if it's a thing of like, okay, they were off doing Sweat versus Savvy. Obviously, the other four are on the doing stuff. We see Jess struggle tremendously. Yeah. And if they're just like, oh, hey, we instantly connected. And those two are obviously going to be instantly connected because they're going through the Sweat Challenge together. And if maybe it was initially the girls' idea of, hey, we could be a four. We've got majority. Like, let's do it.
Yeah, I assume it was the two girls. Which I don't fully understand why they would have not have chosen Banu.
If they are just assuming, hey, these two guys, they're going to spend several hours together.
Seven isn't several.
Yeah, 7 hours, day one, just these two. Like, they're going to be so close, and we're close. We've got the numbers right here. We pick off Jess, we pick off Banu, whatever. You know, day one, this is what it is. And then, you know, as they start to learn things, maybe not the best idea.
Yeah.
But I am excited to see what the women in Survivor 46 can do because I'm feeling good about them. There's a lot of really good, strong women in this cast.
But may I say, I also get a sense that a woman won't win because of that exact same reason.
I say that, yeah. I'm like, okay, look, I was impressed with a lot of the women. There was only one woman, one and a half maybe, in Liz and halfway in Venus, that I don't feel like had great episodes. But all of the rest of them, I'm like, damn, these women are pretty good. I still feel strongly that our winner is a man in Hunter.
And I'm starting to feel very strongly that our winner is a man in Tevin.
Yeah, and Tevin is my other pick. I mean, those are the two I was the highest on.
And look, episode one, we don't know what's going to happen actually. Right. But the fact that they are more dangerous also means they are bigger threats. And you know, it's Survivor's game where you have to be dangerous and a threat and not be voted out, and that's a really hard balance. It's a really hard game to play.
All right, moving on. Number three, Sweat versus Savvy. Yeah. All right, so we see from the challenge, Matt from the marooning, quote unquote. We're not going to get into, I don't like that. But the Sweat versus Savvy, once the Nami tribe wins their flint, the Sika tribe comes in second. They get to decide, do they want to compete in Sweat or Savvy? What do you think about their decision to choose Savvy and making them burn themselves out and do the Sweat challenge?
I don't get it.
My initial impression, because of what we've seen the Sweat challenge be so far, I'm like, yeah, I would absolutely choose Sweat. Like, it's going to be doable. I'm not going to have to do it my damn self.
That was it. Like, if I would be on that island, I would maybe choose Sweat because I'd be, you know, doing palm fronds or whatever they're called.
Right, exactly.
Like, but I don't know. Like, it's a hard decision. And the fact that, you know, I'm fast forwarding here, but the fact that both didn't finish is pretty surprising. Especially the Savvy one, it was not rocket science.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the Savvy one first. Just with what we have seen the Savvy challenges be, I know personally, like, I would have struggled with most of the Savvy challenges. That's why I was like, I would have chosen Sweat.
They're usually finding a number of triangles, which is hard. Yeah.
That is hard, you know, and you only get one guess. So to me, I don't want any part of that. But this time around, they have basically a word search. No key. You just have to figure out what you're trying to do. Obviously, the numbers are popping off of the screen. So I don't know. I don't know if it was extremely obvious, but I was like, okay, they're going to have to use all of the leftover letters. And I thought they were going to have to unscramble them. Maybe they were in order.
They were in order. That it was so easy. It was ridiculous.
I mean, this is a standard org puzzle. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. anybody that has played an org would have been like, bitch, I know what this is.
What's an org? Because I don't know what that is.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was really, really obvious to me.
Yeah. And not only that, they had the first clue of looking below. Like, they didn't even have to do the puzzle. They just had to look below and dig a bit. And they looked under the thing like, yeah, there's nothing there.
Yeah, when Charlie started looking, I was like, oh, okay, he's going to just start digging and just randomly find it.
Okay, so yeah, that was pretty pathetic. But then let's get into the real patheticism.
All right, so the meat and potatoes, the sweat challenge. So, you know, this tribe, they don't get a choice. They got third place. So they got to do the sweat challenge. And immediately they're like, okay, does anybody think they can do it? And old Q over here is like, no. Q is like, we can all do it. Everybody's like, of course we can, but is there anyone that wants to do it? And Jelinski's like, I can do it. This is mistake number one for our of many. Huh?
Of many.
Yeah. Mistake number one of many for old young Jelinski. So what do you initially think about him stepping up?
Look,
in that role.
I'm sorry. If you look at the members on the tribe, the two people that should have stepped up were the right two people, right?
Right. Although I think Banu could have done just as well.
Yes, certainly. Yeah, I was a little surprised why he didn't step up. But I don't know. Maybe
you're doing it. Like, okay, Mr. Division One football player. Come on.
Right. Anyways, like. Yeah, I have no issue with the two chosen. I have no issue with Q stepping up. That just made sense. Mm-hmm. Jelinski, fine. It is a classic case of a person that doesn't know.
Of the bunny in the mailbox?
I don't know what that means.
It's the classic tale of the bunny in the mailbox.
Sure, if you say so.
Anyways.
But it's a classic tale of somebody not knowing themselves. And the truth is, I do believe that if Banu was chosen, they would have finished it because Banu would not have given up.
All right. So before we even get into the quitting part of it, why don't they plug the holes?
If it was me, I would have had a shirt on or I would have taken on my pants.
My stuff.
I don't, by the end of it, they were covering it with their fingers and holding it strategically. But they were I don't know if production said, let's do one with the water pouring out. I don't know what, it was so dumb. It was so, so dumb.
I was like, you literally have something on your body. Like, women stretch the buff enough to cover their entire torso and their boobs. Like, you can stretch this whole ass buff around the little bitty ass bucket that you have to carry it up there.
Anything. But
and then if you want like another layer, like you said, take off your shirt, wrap it around it too. Like make it as watertight as possible.
Get naked, take off your pants. Who cares?
Whatever you have to do. Take your socks off, plug the holes up. Like I don't understand.
Put it in your mouth.
I don't get it. Okay. But this, whenever they showed their little bitty buckets, when Q pours that first load in, I was like, oh no. this is going to take a while.
Yeah. But I don't
Do you think it was attainable?
Yeah. Yes, 100% it was attainable, or the challenge wouldn't have been given. They had to try it out.
Right.
It was 100% attainable.
I agree with you. Also, before we get into the quitting part of it, what to you constitutes several hours?
Two.
Huh?
Two.
Two's a couple. Three is a few.
Two or three.
I think 4 to 5 hours is what you have.
I think 2 to 3, 2 to 4, something like that.
Yeah, I Seb does not equal 7. Several does not equal 7. And
several according to the Oxford Dictionary, more than two, but not many.
There you go.
So three to five.
We're going to settle in that range. But I'm going to say something really tacky, but I cannot pass up the opportunity. It sounds like Cole Jelinski should have dropped out of high school. All right. So maybe he missed the covering of several.
Maybe.
All right. So,
quitting because it was ridiculous. I've got a bit of a take on the quitting too, on Q's side, annoying me, but yeah.
Yeah. So we know, like, from his preseason press that Q talks about how he would vote someone out if they ever threw a challenge. And to see this basically come full circle in episode one is amazing. They had probably used, what, a quarter of their time. And Jelinski's like, yeah, no, it's not happening. What are your thoughts?
My thought is I don't understand how you give up. Even if you do it for the full hourglass amount of time and you don't finish it, I think you don't give up, because going back to the tribe and saying you gave up is worse.
Yeah.
I also do not for the life of me understand how Q let him give up.
I don't know. I can't answer that. My only thought is if they say, look, this would have been like damn near impossible. These buckets had holes in them. You know, we had been filling it up. The hourglass was over halfway done. We were not even close. You know, they exaggerated a little bit, whatever. Okay. But if they're like, we just decided it would be better for us to conserve our energy and concentrate on winning the immunity challenge tomorrow. You know, if they had presented it that way, is it received better? And to be honest, I don't even think it was necessarily received that badly by the other four people, because they didn't have to do it at all. The only person whose ass is chapped by this is Q's.
Yeah, yeah. Because Q is an athlete and Q doesn't like to lose, and Q feels that he lost because of
his teammate. Not just lose, quit.
Quit, yes. And Q quit because of his teammate. But yeah, no, I don't get this at all. And it felt to me like Jelinski didn't want to work anymore.
Yeah, I think he was lazy. Let's just call a spade a spade. Yeah. I think he was lazy. I don't think he wanted to do it. He said that was like the hardest physical endeavor he had ever been through.
He didn't even finish it, so it can't be that hard. He didn't
finish it. You know, like I said, I think if he would have presented it to Q in the way that I said, of like, hey, you know, I think this is going to be really, really hard for us to do. We need to conserve our energy for tomorrow, and we need to concentrate on winning immunity. Like, that needs to be our priority. I think maybe then Q handles it a little better. But Jelinski literally taking the hourglass and smashing it, which we're going to talk about, you know, I think that even that display probably rubs Q the wrong way.
And Erica, it rubs her the wrong way.
I'm just saying, anytime an hourglass is smashed, we're supposed to rewind time.
Yeah.
So maybe Jelinski isn't the first voted off in another world.
Maybe.
But when he threw that thing, I laughed out loud because I was like, what? This is so unbelievable. But also, call it what? Because there's glass now.
That's what I was thinking. That's so dangerous.
And I mean, we saw Jeff Probst like rip Jake a new one last season for stomping over the challenge. How pissed do you think he can be that his hourglass has been smashed?
Pretty.
And was Jelinski honestly just doing one for the fans and giving Jeff the big FU for this hourglass?
No, he's not smart enough for that.
Yeah. Do they all get paid a little bit to do Survivor?
No, I think they get like how long you stay up.
Right, you get like a certain.
There's a stipend of some sort.
Yeah. Do you think they take it out of a stipend?
No.
You think they're just like, oh well.
No, I, there's no value on that. It's made by the people there. Like, no.
You think they're like blowing glass out there in Fiji to make this hourglass?
Yes.
All right. Well, this was the big point number three from the episode. But number four, what really seals the deal is the journey. So coming in number four as the most remarkable thing from our premiere episode is the journey. Yeah. So day one, boat pulls up to the beach. Sheldon, are you getting in the boat?
No.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm only doing it if it, I'm not doing the first one. Like,
I'm risk averse though. I'm risk averse. Like, I run away from risk and game.
I don't want to go on the first one. Like, you're going to have to drag me onto that boat. But, you know, we see the orange tribe. They use their shot in the dark dice. Everybody's got a symbol. And here we go. They roll the dice and Tevin gets.
By the way, finally, a good reason for that twist.
Yeah, exactly. We found a use for the shot in the dark die. But the confessional that Tevin immediately gives of, he's like, at first I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I'm like, oh yes, this is an opportunity for me. And just, he just draws you in. I thought that was the best confessional of the night. In addition to his opening one that was, you know, not even Jeff opening the season. It's Tevin.
Thank God. In fact, I think Tevin should take over for Jeff.
Let's do it. All right. Then the Green Tribe, classic rock, paper, scissors. We see Maria take it over Mariah, and she gets to get on the boat. What overall do you think about this journey game?
It's fun. It's different. It's cool. Yeah. Like,
I
love that there's extra votes. I love that there's a vote loss. I love that there's acting, there's strategy.
Yeah, there's so much there.
Yeah.
So let's go through some of the different options. So to summarize the game, there are three tiles. There is a torch tile. There is a scribe note tile. And then there is a skull. Yes, yep. Is that what it was? Yep. And the torch will be the decipher. They have to choose which one of them is telling the truth as to who actually holds the parchment and who doesn't. And the other two have to twist a tale. Tevin is like, look at me, the actor. I get to play the honest role, which is the easiest role. And I was like, all I wanted was for the roles to be reversed. I wanted Tevin to have to lie, and I wanted Jelinski to have to tell the truth, because I think Tevin would have done a better job lying than Jelinski would have done telling the truth. Because I don't think that in this scenario, obviously Maria had caught on to him before he decides to fess up, but I don't think Tevin did a better job than Jelinski. I think Jelinski just did terrible the whole time.
Listen, 100%. It was ridiculous. It was clear that Jelinski was lying, but What really impressed me here was Maria.
Maria, mother.
The complete quickness in her ability to really become the Black Widow Brigade to this young man. In what seemed like a second. She figured out the game. She knew what she needed to do. She knew what she needed to say.
She was like, Jelinski, I'm going to put you over my knee and beat your ass if you are telling me a lie. She went full, not just mother on him, but mother. Like, yeah. Jelinski, if you are telling me a lie and I lose my vote, I'm going to be extremely disappointed in you. And he was like, George Washington, I cannot tell a lie. I did chop down the cherry tree. And he fesses up.
Yeah. It was something to see, because I don't know. Like, it's just, I'm not really sure how this young man was cast.
Because this was amazing. This was great television for one night. One night and one night only. I loved it.
But this guy could never have won this game.
I think he is the one that Jeff said could not win the season. I'll have to check my notes. But what is the proper way to play this? If you are in the Jelinski role of having to tell a lie, how do you navigate it? Do you ride it out the whole way and try to just convince the person?
Yeah.
And hey, you know what? I'm not guaranteed to make it to merge. They're not guaranteed to make it to merge. I got to look out for number one.
Especially at this point in the game where you don't know anybody. There's no merge or swap or anything coming soon. Like, absolutely, you work your rear end off to not lose your vote and to get an extra. Like, that's all you do. I think Tevin would have been successful at it. I think that it was sad. It was sad.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that on the flip side, maybe the only other thing you have is, look, I am not going to lie to y'all. I have just met you. Like, I am willing to take this one on the chin. But what I am, you know, proposing to you two is you have this extra vote. You look out for me whenever we get to the merge. And you do not tell your tribe what happened.
I don't think you can do that. I think this is day two or three of the game. I don't think
I'm lying till the death. Like, I'm still lying about it, even though they've shown it.
Well, let alone what happened when he came home. And he's like, yeah, I don't have a vote. What? Why do you come back and tell them this?
Not just I don't have a vote, but guess what? I started off
lying,
but then I decided... Like, I don't want to make these two people possibly lose their vote. So I gave them the extra vote and I just told the truth. Excuse me, what?
Yeah.
Like, okay, whatever. You've made a shitty decision, but not only have you made, you know, a shitty decision in quitting Sweat versus Savvy, you made a shitty decision volunteering to go because, you know, you were so eager. I'm sure that rubbed them the wrong way, even though they were like, yeah, go, it's fine. You know that they were talking shit about him whenever he got on the boat. And then he makes a shitty decision there to, you know, fess up. But then all you have to do when you get back is be like, we had to stick our hand in a bag and draw, and I lost my boat. If you want to tell the truth. You don't fucking tell them you gave the other tribe two extra votes. Why would you do that? Like I said, okay.
You're asking me really great questions, Kylie, but it's Jelinski. And that's the only answer I have when I don't really have a good answer. He Jelinski'd.
Yeah. I mean, do anything else. We had to draw. I didn't lose my vote. And then you tell the three people that you're in an alliance with separately. Like, hey, guys, I did lose my vote. But you still don't tell them the truth of the whole thing. You don't tell them that you gave the other tribe two extra votes.
I am really.
And I think this at this moment, Q was like, hell no. Hell no. I'm done with this kid.
And truly, rightfully so, because... The real question here was Jess versus Jelinski, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Jess, who is aloof, isn't great at challenges, is all around the place. By the way, I love her personality.
She also had one of the funniest moments of the episode when she, you know, Bonu says, do you have children? She says, no, I would lose them. And Kenzie's like, well, you could, you know, like put a leash on. She's like, they need to put the leash on.
Hilarious. It's really. And I'll claim her as a Canadian just for that, by the way, just because she's funny.
Yeah.
But the question was, do we have Jess, who is not going to be great at competitions and is a little bit of aloof, but will probably hopefully not quit, versus Jelinski, who has shown us multiple times now he does not have the grit to play in the game.
He is
not somebody you want there for a challenge. He is not somebody you want as an ally. He is not somebody that you want to put in an army to fight against your enemy.
And like point number five or six against this man is he also volunteered for the puzzle, and he just kind of stood there stacking up pieces while Jess was working on a puzzle with a severe time deficit by herself.
Yeah.
Like, Jelinski did not help any there either. But before we get into any more with Jelinski real quick, let's talk about Jess. Do you think, I feel like this is either setting up that Jess is going to quit, which I really, really hope we do not see, or maybe, and what I'm hoping for, because I did kind of enjoy Jess, is that we're going to see her just settle down the nerves. Okay, I made it through this first tribal council. Like, I've got 3 more days to, you know, ingrain myself into this tribe. And I can be myself. I can talk. I can have conversations. Do we see her calm down? Or is this a complete spiral?
You're asking me if she's going to uberify the game. And the truthful answer is, I don't think she can.
Yeah.
I really don't. She's not sleeping. Aubrey was sleeping and she was able to bring it together. I don't think so. The only thing that I could imagine potentially, and I hope this also doesn't happen, that could get her to stick around longer is if Banu really starts annoying people.
Yeah.
And he becomes far more of a liability for that side, and they'd rather keep Jess over Banu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the decision to vote Jelinski over Jess. Do you think that this is the right decision?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I really think it's the right decision. I think he's just not dependable. Let's add another fact that for all they know, he could have lied about what happened at the journey. And he actually just gave up his vote and created 2 people that are going to work with him later on in the game. So I think that he was a short-term threat and a long-term. There's long-term. Yeah. I shouldn't say that. Threat is not a good word to put with Jelinski. I think there's a reason both in the short-term and the long-term to get rid of Jelinski.
Yeah. I ultimately like this decision, and I think Q is definitely the one that drove it because I think Kenzie and Tiffany wanted to vote out Jess, and I think Q was like, no. This kid has to go. And with the fact that you're pretty sure he's lost his vote because you're just assuming that he's telling the truth, because what kind of dumbass story is this if it's not true? Why don't you take the easy way and vote the person that doesn't have a vote? You know he can't play his shot in the dark. Let's just get him out of here.
I will say, I'm as we're talking about this, I'm getting a similar thing like this happened on a future season that you haven't seen yet, Kylie, of Australian Survivor.
Don't tell me.
I'm not going to give you anything where somebody on paper maybe should have been the one that should have gone, and they didn't. And it really changed the game in really interesting ways.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, I really... There were things about Jess that did give me a feeling that she'll be around in the game a long time. Mm-hmm. She is, it's hard not to like her. Even though, by the way, the tribe kept on saying, I can't connect with her. I didn't see that. I didn't feel that. I connected with her over the TV.
Yeah, no, I kind of liked her and I'm kind of rooting for her. Yeah. She was almost... At tribal council, she was like vibrating with like anxiety. And you know, you just wanted to reach through the screen and just be like,
chill.
Poor baby.
It's okay.
Not even chill, like in a mean way. You know, like there was something endearing about Jess that you didn't get from Brandon last season. You know what I mean? Like with Brandon, you were like,
well, how is this possible?
Yeah. You know what I mean? But with Jess, you're like, okay, you know, maybe she can turn this around.
I must say, I don't understand, and this is, I'm going to talk personal stuff about her. She's a computer engineer. How does she sit on her bum and code all day? I don't get it. How does she focus?
And I'm pretty sure that in the cast assessment, I told y'all, like, I don't know what to think about Jess because, you know, on paper, you have all of this. But then when she talks, you have all of this. And she showed you that.
Yeah. I love her. I love her.
Yeah.
I love her.
All right. So those are our 4 highlights from the premiere episode. But before we end this podcast, we are going to talk about each of our winner picks just a little bit and what we got from them in the premiere episode, how we're kind of feeling about them, setting up a long-term game. So, Sheldon, kick us off. Tell us about Kenzie.
Look, Kenzie did, in my opinion, exactly what Kenzie needed to do in the first few days of the game. She made relationships with people. She created a strong enough bond with Tiffany that Tiffany shared an idol with her. I think Kenzie is here to stay. Yeah. So happy to see her.
All right. And my winner pick is Hunter. I think Hunter had a solid premiere episode. Obviously, we didn't get as much from their tribe because they win both of the challenges. So we're not going to spend as much time with them. But I think that whenever you see him in the role of immediately in the initial challenge, like runs out, he grabs a puzzle piece, goes back, helps Venus bring hers in. Yeah. He had the idea of like, hey, you stay behind, go ahead and clear the sand out completely for everybody. Like, something so minor that he tells her, he did the heavy lifting. He solved the puzzle for arranging their little stepping blocks. So not only is he brute strength, but he's obviously intelligent too. And then just dynamically in the tribe. Yes, maybe he doesn't just completely mesh because he doesn't have that silly personality. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. You don't want...
If you ask me what the top two words that come to mind when I think of Hunter after that episode, the two words are one, open, and two, inquisitive. And I those are good things. I think he seemed open to making friends with people that he truly would never have met in his life.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, yes, he is this small town Mississippi boy, but from what I read about the school that he teaches at, this isn't just your typical, local high school. This is a school that is taking in kids with troubled past. And so, even though small town Mississippi, maybe he's not as exposed as some other people. I think that he's open to working with other people. So I liked what I got from Hunter. If I had to say a word for him, I would say stable. And that's a good thing, too. So I feel good about Hunter. Let's see what happens. So if you are following along with us, please leave us a comment and let us know who you think is an early front runner. Is Hunter or Kenzie or someone else going to bring on the title of Soul Survivor? Sheldon, you excited for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I really am. I think we're going to see a lot of really cool things happen. I think this cast is a special one. I think we might not forget them.
Yeah. And it's kind of hard because sometimes, it's easy to get caught up on all the things that Jeff is doing that have so much changed the new era. But we had a really, really great season in 45. And so, I think that we can be optimistic that 46 is also going to be great because it seems like a really great cast. So I am optimistic on what is coming. So, Sheldon, we will be back next Thursday. Same place, same time, hopefully with Kevin on board because, he's just, being a little world traveler right now. And so we'll be excited to hear his takes because I'm sure he's got some controversial ones that we're both going to disagree with. Maybe he's got some good points, but also, maybe he's going to have to eat some humble pie and tell us how great Hunter is.
We all need some humble pie on Tiffany, though.
Yeah, we all did. So good on Tiff. She's a badass. Lots of badass women. Feminists in me rise up. Come on. All right. So make sure you give us a thumbs up and subscribe so you get a notification every time we go live. And we will.